You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
What is going on, everybody? Sydney Taylor here, and you are listening to a brand new episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. I know, long time, no talk. It has been a hot minute since I've jumped on the mic here and put together an episode of the podcast for you guys, but I do have a good reason that I'm going to get into in just a moment, but I hope that every single one of you has had a wonderful couple of months and that all of you have been doing well. But yes, it has been a little bit since I've spoken to you all last, and like I mentioned, there are reasons for this, some very exciting reasons, I might add. If you have been staying up to date with me on social media, you will have seen me post about this, but I'm currently working for Philadelphia's largest active rock station, 93.3 WMMR, and it has been such a wonderful opportunity. I am a production and digital assistant and was just brought on as a part-time on-air host, which is a dream come true for me, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this station and team. I'm going to be handling some overnights in the month of November, and I'm so excited to hop on the airwaves and spend some time with you all if you are in the Philadelphia, South Jersey, Delaware area. Tune into 93.3 WMMR and listen to the greatest active rock station in the country, in my very humble opinion. But I'm so excited. And what's so great about WMMR is that there is always somebody live 24/7, 365 days a year. Every hour, there is a real person in the studio, a real DJ answering your calls, taking requests, being there. There's no tapes, there's nothing like that. There's a live person there 24/7, 365 days a year, and I'm so thrilled to be a part of the history of this iconic station, and I'm very excited. So I've been up to that the last couple of months, kind of getting oriented there and spending some of my time, or majority of my time, working with the station and all of that jazz. So that is where I've been. Very exciting news, but I am not forgetting you guys and the podcast. You guys are just as big a part of my heart, and we are back. And this week, I am bringing you guys a brand new interview that is so special to me. I recorded this interview back in August, and in a weird way, it ended up working out perfectly that I held off a little bit to post this, because we did this back in August, and the news is already out there that this legendary musician that we are going to speak about this week was being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But when you are listening to this, today is when Randy Rhoads will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. If you know me, I have talked about it many times, not only on here, but on my social media and on Sea of Tranquility. If you guys watch over there on YouTube, that Randy Rhoads is my favorite guitar player of all time, and I'm so just honored that this week I had the opportunity to sit down with Kathy and Kelly Rhoads, the brother and sister of Randy Rhoads, and the two people who have worked so hard and so diligently in preserving Randy's legacy, not only his incredible legacy, but all of his memorabilia and his guitars and everything that belonged to Randy. So they are just amazing, and I'd been wanting to get them on the podcast for a while. It was something that I'd always wanted to do, a tribute episode to Randy and everything that he has given all of us with his music and his talents. So I was so just beyond honored to have them on the podcast. And in this episode, we dive into everything Randy, of course, his childhood, his start in guitar, his time teaching, not only teaching, but also taking lessons at Musonia School of Music, the music school owned by his mother and now his brother Kelly. We also get into his induction in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And just and so much more. We had a really wonderful conversation that clocks in at a little over an hour. So there is so much here. And if you are a Randy Rhoads fan, if you are an Ozzy Osbourne fan, especially those two iconic records, Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman, as well as Randy's days with Quiet Riot, I think that you guys are going to get so much out of this episode. And this is one that is truly so near and dear to my heart, because this is just, it's so personal to me, my love for everything that Randy did and gave us. So I am just so excited to finally be sharing this episode with you guys. And like I said, Randy Rhoads will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he now has an exhibit in the Rock Hall that you can go and check out if you are in the area or visiting. We also talk about everything that Kathy and Kelly decided to put into that exhibit, why they made the choices that they did, what is going to be shown. And if you can't make it to the Rock Hall, Kathy has a wonderful Instagram account where she shares so much about her brother, not only photos, but stories and just memories of Randy. And she's been kind enough to share everything that is going to be in the exhibit or is now in the exhibit on her Instagram page for you guys to view. So if you do not have the opportunity to see the exhibit in person, you can go over to Kathy's Instagram and check it out. We will be sharing all of her social media accounts and everything like that on our website and on our social media accounts ourselves. So be sure to go ahead and check that out. But I really thank Kathy and Kelly for coming on to talk about Randy. Next year, it will be 40 years since we tragically lost him, and his legacy is as strong as ever. And so much of that is because of everything that Kathy and Kelly have done to preserve that legacy and sharing all of their stories about Randy, their photos, and like I said, even just preserving his personal belongings and getting his story out there for so many to hear. So I really thank them for everything that they have done to preserve Randy's legacy and to share it with so many that were touched by his music, and especially share it here on the Metal from the Inside podcast. So thank you, Kathy and Kelly. If you are listening, it is so appreciated and so wonderful to have you on. I think that everyone is going to get so much out of this episode, and it's a really great conversation. So as a reminder, if you are interested in purchasing Metal from the Inside merchandise, it is still available through the renowned heavy metal label Season of Mist. You can go to season-of-mist.com, go ahead and type Metal from the Inside into the search bar, and our flame logo tee will come up. You can purchase the logo on a variety of different garments, including hoodies, zip-ups, t-shirts, tank tops, long sleeves, anything that your heart desires, you can purchase the Metal from the Inside logo on, and it is a great way to support the podcast. And if you aren't already, be sure to stay up to date with me on all of my social media. I'll be updating you guys there on brand new episodes of the Metal from the Inside podcast, as well as my on-air shifts over at 93.3 WMMR. If you do not live in the Philadelphia area, have no fear, you can stream WMMR. Just go to WMMR.com. You can listen live and stream it wherever you are. So if you are interested in listening and you do not live in the Philadelphia, South Jersey, Delaware area, that is how you can do it. And I will be sharing all of my on-air shifts, when you can listen to me on the airwaves, on my social media. I'm on Twitter at @STaylorOfficial and on Instagram at @CindyAnnaTaylor. So be sure to follow me there. Stay up to date on everything I'm up to, and would always love to chat with you guys about anything hard rock and heavy metal. So don't be afraid to reach out. Without further ado, let's get into episode 47 of the Metal from the Inside podcast, one that is so near and dear to my heart. My conversation with the ever so lovely Kathy and Kelly Rhoads, the brother and sister of the legendary Randy Rhoads. Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. And I am so, so excited about this episode. And I have a feeling that it's going to be an episode that's very, very meaningful to me. I have two very special people joining me, Kathy and Kelly Rhoads, the brother and sister of the late Randy Rhoads. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to join me today.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a blast to have you guys here. And I've been wanting to do this for a while because I know, you know, your brother's music has meant so, so much to me. And I know that it means so much to all the people who are watching or listening right now. So I kind of just want to get started with a little bit of what's been happening recently, you know, with your brother, especially the Rock Hall induction, which, if I'm correct, you guys had no idea that he was even up for anything, right?
No. Mm-mm. No, I got a call from the Osbournes the night before it was officially announced, and I was told, and I was like, what? I didn't know this. So that's how I heard. And then I called him and I told him. So yeah, totally caught off guard.
Yeah. How does it feel for you guys to have him be honored that way? Because I know he's had some exhibits there before. He's had some stuff that's been displayed and shown and everything. But, you know, to kind of have this, especially out of the blue, how did it feel for the both of you to have him recognized?
Well, I had no idea he was up for an award.
Yeah.
So the next morning, a lot of guitar players I know started calling me, and they left messages, and they said, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I talked to her.
Yeah.
And she goes, Randy's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I go, everybody in Ozzy? And she goes, no, Randy.
Yeah.
And I go, wow. Yeah. I kind of had to think about it for a while.
Really proud moment.
Yeah.
Really proud. Wish my mom could see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really grateful for it. And he deserves it. And it's awesome.
Everybody hears about it, says it's about time.
Yeah,
that's what I said when I heard it. I was like, how do you, like, what do you mean that he wasn't in there before? Like, it was just so like, this should have already happened.
that's what a lot of people say. So.
Yeah, at least, I guess better than never.
Better late than never.
Yeah, better late than never. Yeah.
Exactly. And I know that you, Kathy, because I follow you on Instagram, which is of course how we got this together. I know that, you know, you've been sharing a lot of stuff about, you know, what you're going to be putting in the exhibit, because I know he's going to have, I believe, something starting in October. So what was the process for you guys of kind of deciding what was going to go into the exhibit, you know, what you were going to pick and choose and that whole kind of thing?
Well, you know, we're going to have a guitar, one of his guitars there, and it's going to be the White Jackson. We've had the polka dot
twice.
So we thought we would do something a little bit different this time.
Yeah. And Randy was synonymous with the kind of the invention of the Jackson Flying V.
Yeah.
And so we thought, what perfect thing to have it displayed. You know, this year will be 40 years since we've lost our brother. Mm-hmm. And now he's inducted. It's like really a good year for him. So I wanted it to be special, you know, with this display and have something that I thought maybe he might want displayed, since the other had been displayed before. And I think it was a good choice. From the feedback that I got, everybody's like, yes, 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 this is good.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And then, you know, we sent the pedal board with the shoes that actually made the imprint on the pedal board. That's legit. That's the way it was. And that's the shoes he wore on stage all the time. And the strap with the guitar. And anyway, so yeah, I think everyone will really enjoy seeing that guitar. Nobody's seen it before. They've seen the polka dot one that has been in the museum. So this is a first.
It's the guitar that's in that picture behind us.
Yeah. Yes. We're in my wine room.
It's incredible. And I know that I was going to ask you guys, because I know that you guys had this, you know, really terrible break-in that happened at Musonia a couple years back. And since then, I believe that you've had a lot of what was taken recovered. But what was, you know, was it a little like hesitant for you to want to send stuff to the Rock Hall? I mean, I know that it's a display and everything, but for you guys, was it a little like, we had this really bad experience, and do we want to like let go of this stuff and have it sent to Cleveland?
I can answer that, because I was dealing with the guys from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and one guy in particular, one-on-one with him, he's been awesome. He knows how nervous I was, and he has baby-stepped me through the whole thing and the process, and I will be there the minute it arrives there, and I will make sure I oversee it. I'm going to send you pictures of it getting here. They were handling it with gloves. So I do feel reassured from a very good employee there at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame named Andy. Again, give him kudos, because he was amazing. So yeah, they know.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because I know that it was just like, that was so awful when I heard about it, that happened. And I know that like a lot of that stuff is just so, I mean, it's so irreplaceable to you guys. And I know that it must be hard to just let go of it sometimes.
Absolutely.
Well, the result of it is, we got almost all of it back. What we didn't get back was a flugelhorn of my mom's. And besides that, just some pictures. But everything else has been returned.
That's amazing that they found it. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It does kind of make you more vulnerable, like, you know, more guarded, more cautious, because everybody wants to see all this stuff about him. And, you know, it's been, you know, in storage and in an undisclosed area. And, you know, we'd like to share it, but then stuff like this happens. And then you're like, it's not worth the risk of losing something. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, the tricky part with the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like the classic case of like one person ruins it for everybody, you know, but I totally get it. I mean, that stuff is just, you know, once it's revealed or anything, it's totally touchy situation. So I totally understand you guys being guarded about it and not wanting, you know, things to get too out of hand. But kind of touching on Musonia, because I know that kind of going back a little bit, I know that that school is just so special to you guys. You know, your mom was only 28 when she opened that school, which is just so incredible that she managed to do that. And it's been around, you know, now for so many years. So Kelly, I mean, what has it been like for you kind of taking over that school and kind of, you know, I know you guys both also took lessons there when you were growing up too.
Well, you know, at first I was kind of concerned that by taking it over, would I be able to stay close to my mom's dream and keep it running like it is, keep it intact? And so far, it's been all right. It's kind of strange though. It's 73 years we've had that school, mm-hmm. So it came along before us, and we try to stay as close to the way that she ran it.
Yeah. It's actually Time Warp.
Yeah,
I don't know
it is.
If you've ever been here.
If you go inside it, the wood's the same, the fixtures are the same. Nothing's been remodeled. It's the way that it was when it was built.
Mm-hmm. The way it was, especially when Randy taught, my mom taught, everything is the same. So it's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. Do you get a lot of people? I'm sure you do. You get a ton of people who come, you know, fans and stuff.
Yeah. If they want to come and do it the right way, they call and make an appointment.
Yeah. And he does an amazing tour.
So I try to satisfy everybody and make sure that they have a good experience, and, you know, I try to stay as close as I can to what my mom would be doing.
Yeah.
You know, if she was here.
And they get a history lesson too when they get to it.
Yeah.
Gives it really the history of the whole, you know, building and the way it was. So highly recommend it to have Kelly give you a personal tour of Musonia.
Yeah, that's on my list. I've only been to California once, so it's on my list the next time I go. It's like it's a must do for me. But I, like I said, I know that you guys both took lessons there when you were, you know, kids, and I know Randy did too. And what I always find so fascinating is that, you know, obviously you guys all played together. I know that Kelly, you used to jam with Randy and all this stuff. But I mean, was there a specific point when you guys were kids that you kind of saw that Randy was really taking to the guitar like more than the average person? Is that something that you guys have memories of, or, you know, was it something that kind of just happened gradually for you guys?
Kind of happened gradually over the years, especially after Quiet Riot, then it became real obvious. You know, he's really taking to the guitar and making it his own instrument. And I was just shocked how he took off and leaps and bounds after that.
Yeah. You know, and one thing I'd like to say, a little story. I've told this story before, you know, in other interviews, but at one point when Randy was about 15 years old, I was at home. I was still living there then, of course. And he was in the kitchen with my mom, and my mom sat him down. We were talking in the kitchen, and she said, "You know, Randy, you really have a God-given gift." And I remember looking at him to see what he was going to say back to her. And he just tears were coming down his cheeks, because he knew my mom said it, that really meant something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 15. And another story that's true. He had a guitar teacher at Musonia who came up to my mom and said, "I can't teach him anymore. He knows more than I do." And she said, "Oh, come on, you're joking with me, Scott." And he goes, "No, I mean it." So that's 15 years old, and we knew something was incredible about him. Now, of course, he's the only guitar player we were around and saw, so we didn't compare, you know, him to other guitar players. We just saw greatness and took it for granted. So,
yeah. I mean, how old were you guys when you guys started playing? Because I know obviously that your mom owned a school. So I'm sure that, you know, she got you guys really involved in music from a very early age. So, I mean, what were your first memories of getting involved with music?
So Randy and I started lessons on guitar at the same time. He was
okay,
not quite seven, maybe approximately that. And I was, you know, a year older than that. And we started lessons together. But then he quickly went into, you know, the electric guitar. We started with acoustic. I stayed with acoustic. He wanted to go on with the electric guitar. And my Kelly took drum lessons, was an amazing drummer. And so we had to take something. It was like my mom said, you pick. It wasn't a choice. You had to pick something that you wanted to do.
We got to choose what instrument we wanted.
Yeah, you just choose. But you don't have the option of opting out.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm reading right now Ronnie James Dio's autobiography of his that was just released. And he says the same. He said the same type of thing that his dad basically said one day at the kitchen table, like, you're picking something. What are you picking? And he ended up taking lessons for the trumpet, but that's what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet. We know Wendy really pretty well.
Wendy told us that he played the trumpet first.
Yeah, so that's really funny. But I mean, I know that, you know, Randy went on eventually to teach at Musonia. He had his, you know, students and everything, and that he really loved to teach. I was always a little curious at the timeline of that. You know, when around like the maybe the age or the time in his career did he teach there?
He taught there during Quiet Riot.
Okay.
He was in Quiet Riot when he taught there.
Okay, cool. And I know that Brent Woods, who I know is a very good friend of you, you know, the both of you, and he plays with Sebastian Bach too. I mean, I know that he was a student of Randy's, and I know that you guys have a really close relationship, so I wanted to touch on that too.
I'll tell you an interesting story. When he showed up there, his mom took him down for lessons, and he was about, I don't know, I think he was 12 or something like that. And she goes, well, okay, so it's time to meet the teacher. So he meets Randy, and he's got like a 19-inch waist. He's got tennis bracelets all the way like this. And Brent's like, well. And he said that it shaped his whole outlook on music.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I share him with Sebastian Bach.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times, you know, and I've seen Sebastian Bach. And I mean, he's a fantastic player, but I mean, he gets it from himself, but also, of course, a wonderful teacher that he had. So it makes sense. I know.
Real close friend
of
the family. We really care for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. On average, I know it might be hard to even like guesstimate, but like, did Randy have a ton of students? Was it just a few, you know, was he just kind of here?
When he left to go work with Ozzy, he had 60.
Wow.
So that's a full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, teaching 60 students is a full-time job. He really, really loved teaching. And my mom and my dad also really, really loved, you know, teaching. Mm-hmm. And
he was very good at it.
Yeah, he was a really good teacher.
Very patient.
Yeah, very patient.
And he always said he learned so much from his students, teaching them for himself. Like, he got a lot of gratitude from that.
He said to me once, he goes, you know, it's really helped me a lot to teach. He goes, when you have to learn these songs people want and have them ready and stuff like that, he goes, it makes you a better player.
I've heard that from a lot of different guitarists that I've talked to who, you know, throughout the last year, especially have, you know, had to start teaching lessons, you know, over the Zoom and everything.
Yeah.
And that's what I've heard from a lot of them, is that, you know, it really kind of makes you go back to your own skills and, you know, relearn things that you might have, you know, been a little shaky on or whatever. So that's really cool to know that he felt that way too. And like, touching on that as well, I've always wondered, as a fan of his, you know, it's quite obvious that we lost him just way too early. And I've always just, you know, like so many people, was always curious as to what he would have done. You know, when I remember being a fan early on, I always thought maybe he'd do something with Ozzy again or another hard rock record. But, you know, learning about him, I know that he really wanted to go back to a lot of his classical roots that he had. So, I mean, for you guys, you knew him better than anybody. You know, did he have conversations with you about this, or what his future in music may have looked like?
Well, he was going to take some time off touring, get his degree in classical guitar studies.
At UCLA.
From UCLA, of course, because my mom went there.
And yeah. She had already had it in the works. She had already contacted the school. She was getting it all lined up. Anyway, go ahead.
But then he always planned to return. He was going to make more music with Ozzy.
He was going to make another album.
Yeah.
He was committed to that.
Yeah.
But he was tired of the touring scene. And, you know, if you think about it, Randy had always lived at home. And we were brought up in, you know, private school, Christian school. To be thrust out into the world and go with Ozzy Osbourne, you know, God bless him. We still, you know, connected with them. You know, he was a heavy drinker then, and it was hard for Randy. Was always so dedicated and so serious about his music. And, you know, here it must have been difficult for him. And I think he just was so serious about his music that was first and priority for him, no matter what situation he was in. So I think he would have come back and done more with Ozzy over the
years. I think he would have.
I do. They had a good relationship.
They had a good relationship, yeah.
So, yeah. But what he would have done, I'm sure it would have been phenomenal. I mean, mm-hmm.
Who knows what would have happened?
Who knows? But yeah. It would have been phenomenal. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean.
No doubt.
I mean, I think about, I know a lot of fans, and, you know, like I said, myself included, I'm always like wondering, you know, what he would have given us if, you know, given the opportunity. But I mean, like, you know, talking about Ozzy, I know that they were obviously, like you just said, very close. Does it make you guys emotional to hear Ozzy talk about Randy at all? Is it, because I know I've seen, you know, footage of him listening to his guitar solos and all this stuff. He talks very, very, very fondly of the time that he spent with your brother. And, you know, does that just sometimes affect you guys kind of hearing that and seeing that?
I think it's great.
I think it's good.
Yeah,
I think
it's really
I would term it bittersweet. It's great. At times it gets hard, you know, that when you're doing like the social media thing, you'll see things, people say things that aren't correct at all. It gets to me. My husband says, let it go. It doesn't matter. He lets it go.
I don't pay any attention to that stuff.
So it's got to be the way it was.
They say good or bad.
Yeah.
Well, they don't say bad things about Randy, bad about me, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of false information out there.
There is.
And, you know, things do hurt me, but I've got to learn to get past that and focus on what, you know, I'm doing and, you know, our contribution for our brother, and our hearts are in the right place. And, you know, that's all, I guess.
Yeah, I something I haven't really even thought of before is exactly kind of what you were saying. Is I'm sure that there's just, especially, you know, with Randy, you know, he's become such an iconic figure, and there's, you know, just again all this mystery about what he would have done and, you know, what he was doing, you know, right before, you know, he passed away and all this stuff. And I'm sure that, yeah, that definitely gets frustrating, of having to see people saying things. You're like, you know, for a fact, I mean, nobody gets closer to him than you guys. So it must be like, oh, that's so just not correct.
That's just
something that if you're related to a real famous person,
I guess, yeah.
That's going to happen.
It's
just inevitable.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So something too, I really have always been curious about when it comes to Randy, because I've heard this many times, and this is going to be me asking you guys if it's actually true. I know that he was a huge Alice Cooper fan. I am as well. I've even had Alice on the podcast. So I'm a big fan, and I've heard many times that, you know, when Randy saw Alice and saw Glenn Buxton, that was a really kind of life-changing moment for him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I
he took him to the concert.
I told him, I go, we're all going to go see Alice Cooper. So Randy goes, okay, who's she? And I go, you'll see who she is. I'll share a memory with you. We got there. The place doesn't even exist anymore. It was the old Long Beach Municipal Auditorium, all made out of wood. They tore it down 30 years ago. So we get there, and they're offloading Alice's stage gear on a conveyor, and he just looks at all this stuff go by, and he goes, this is going to be one band? And he couldn't believe all the equipment they had. And then the electric chair comes out, and Randy's like, they're going to use that? And
how old was he, though? Tell how old he was at the time.
It was July 11th, 1971, and he was touring with Love It to Death. He was touring with Love It to Death. So he wasn't huge yet, but he was breaking in. He was pretty big. Yeah. And the whole concert just, it just completely blew him away. It blew him away. And I tell you that's the point where he saw it and he goes, I could do this. I could do that. I can really see myself up there.
Yeah, a really pivotal moment.
And I met Alice a couple times. And Alice said, that would be my first pick to have for a guitar player. So that was pretty cool. I hope my brother heard that somewhere.
Yeah, I've always, wondered if, like I said, if that was actually true. And it's incredible that it was that early in Alice's career. Because, you often hear, it was Billion Dollar Babies or, something, Welcome to My Nightmare. So, to hear that it was that first kind of tour when they were themselves kind of getting off the ground is really cool to hear that affected him so much. So, I mean, I know that around, the time and, date of his passing, you guys have normally done these really, great memorials, at his resting place, and a lot of people come out and everything like that. Does it, just ever, I guess, still bewilder you guys or overwhelm you guys to see the amount of people who come out to these things? And, even for you, Kathy, the amount of people who message you on Instagram or follow you for information, and pictures of Randy, does it ever kind of just still bewilder you guys that there's that many people out there who come and visit?
Well, something, I thought about that the other day, and you got a guy that was a really good guitar player, Tommy Bolin, and it was in Deep Purple, I think. And I just look at it and I go, wow, we're so blessed that people really, really loved Randy and still do. And he is really in the conscience of people. You mention him to other guitar players and people go, who's Tommy Bolin? And I go, wow, that would have been one of the ways it could have gone, but it didn't. And that was that I'm really grateful
and
for.
And I think to see there's so many followers that I have that are 14 years old. That's amazing. And
that's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
That's a real good sign.
That would have blown Randy's mind. Wow, these people still like me.
There's a band on tour right now. And then when they come to LA, they all want to go to the school because they were Randy fans. And they're just really young girls. They're called Plush. They're very young girls. And one of the things that they wanted to be sure they do is stop by the school.
Yeah. It's funny. The drummer, her name is Brooke for that band. She grew up right where I grew up. So I've known her. And so it's really great that she got in contact with you guys. But I mean, I even look kind of at myself, I'm 21 and I've been listening to those early, Ozzy records for my entire life. From the moment that I could have knowledge on music, I knew who Randy Rhoads was. So I think that his legacy is totally spanning generations.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
That's what's incredible. But and I think he had the whole package. He was a really decent, humble human being and very kind. I'm not saying he's like this perfect person. He had a very little mischievous side to him, but he really, really was a good person. And I think that's rare out in the maybe in the rock and roll world. He wasn't into the partying, the drugs, the, what do they say? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I don't know. He just...
Yeah. I liked it. I liked it.
He liked that part.
Yeah.
He was so serious about his music. And I think that came through and it's transcended with his, part of his legacy. At least I think that, so...
Yeah, and I think that that's
correct.
Like he's inspirational to a lot of young musicians of how it could be. I guess that's a good way to say it.
I mean, that's what's always, I think, struck me about him is, I'm somebody, and I know a lot of other people who feel this way, I have such a passion for music. And I think when you see somebody else who clearly has such a passion for what they're doing, I mean, you watch those early videos. The one that I'm thinking of the most is when he was on, I think it was like a public access show or something in upstate New York, and it was Rudy Sarzo, that one. And you watch those early videos and it's just he was just so clearly so into what he was doing and playing and creating that I think that you just can't help as a fan, to kind of pick up on that, like you said, and internalize it.
Yeah. He knew what he wanted to do. All he wanted to do was play guitar.
Yeah.
And he knew he didn't need anything else because that's what his future was. Yeah. And it was, he made it.
Yeah. And growing up, he did always have a guitar.
In his
hand.
She would always say, Turn it down. Have to play it now? Turn it off. We're watching TV.
The neighbors would call the police on him. And the police would show up banging at our door. Turn it down.
Yeah. He always had to have electric.
Think about it. In those days, you know, people weren't as open and cool about it. It was, you know, he was ahead of his time, actually. Yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. But crazy. Anyway.
I know you, Kathy, had a really kind of, I know you did have a close relationship with him too, Kelly, but you knew you were only a year apart with him, right, Kathy? So, I mean, you guys at one point were really, really close.
Yeah.
They were close when they were really, always, but they were close when they were really young because, you know, they were like always hanging around with each other. You know, I was like the older brother.
He was 4 years older than me.
It seems like 4 years is not that big a difference, but it was then. It was then. We all had our own friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was my buddy. And every other school year, came from a very small, private little school. He was in my class. So because we were, you know, they were combined classes, like first and second, third and fourth. So every other year, we'd be in the same classroom together, too. So it's kind of neat. But
I wasn't really as close to Randy as Kathy was. But we started getting like really close a month before he passed away.
Yeah. That's something I'd like to bring out.
Yeah.
Randy, you know, he had this little LA scene playing at the local, you know, nightclubs here that, you know, which is pretty historic in itself, Sunset and the Starwood and all those, you know, little LA nightclub scenes. And, going through that scene with him and going through all that thing. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So there were different stages of Randy's life, you know, like one when we were really young. And then what my brother was saying, I know totally now. He had these friends, you know, that he were like junior high school friends and stuff. But when he went with Ozzy and he came back, he was definitely changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we both saw that. Like he matured. He appreciated. He'd never been away from home. He appreciated that. He appreciated, you know, what we had being with mom. You know, he really, really matured and had changed. And I think it might have been a changing point, actually, in his life about where he was with Quiet Riot and going forward in a professional manner. Like, this was big time. And now things were going to change for him. And I think he took it very seriously. And I saw that. And I think we both saw it. Like, you know, our relationship with him was deeper when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he still lived at home when he came off of tour, right?
Yeah.
He still lived at home.
He still lived at home. We were gone. I had kids. He was gone. But Randy was still home with my mom.
Yeah.
At the end.
And I can assume, I know that, you know, you guys were, of course, very close with your mom, too. I mean, what was their relationship like? Because I mean, you know, that's a very vague question. I'm sure it goes very, you know, much deeper than that, but
let him start.
she was pretty strict.
Yeah
And she really didn't tolerate any foolishness.
She called the shots.
She didn't tolerate fools very well, and she called all the shots.
There was never a question, what mom said.
Yeah, she was driving the bus. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but to get back to, you know, the relationship with my mom and Randy, you know, I think back now, and she favored him. I know we both saw that.
Absolutely.
Because think about it, she was a professional musician herself.
Mm-hmm.
He probably was following in the footsteps. Maybe perhaps she would have wanted to go.
I think so. I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
I think there's some validity. So this was like, you know, her budding baby that's going out there. And she saw that he was, you know, definitely going to probably make it, you know, out there. And I think they had a really very special type bond. When he was on the road, he'd call her everything he wanted, every question, boom, mom was there for him. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad they had that. I don't feel bad about that. You know, I think we got snuffed sometimes, but it's okay because he's not here. And we had mom, you know. And
we had her the whole rest of her life.
Yeah, she lived to 95 years old.
We had the whole rest of her life.
But I think she favored him. And he was very sick as a baby. I've made posts about this. When he was born, he almost didn't make it. He was born taken too soon. And he had some lung issues. And he was...
Didn't he have colic?
No. Well, he might have. But I'm saying this was a lung development problem where he had to be incubated.
Yeah.
And then he fell out of his high chair at 1 year old on his head. And then when he was in first grade, they thought he had rheumatic fever, which he didn't, but he was out of school for months in bed, really sick. Mm-hmm. So I think because he was like a sickly child, that was another reason my mom babied him.
Yeah. What did she think about the rock scene that he ended up joining in? Because I mean, I know he started out with classical guitar. You know, he was.
No, you got that wrong.
That's a misconception.
Please correct me because I've heard that, and this is exactly what I want. I want to know the actual facts. So please,
that's a misconception. I'm talking about. Yeah.
He didn't get into the classical stuff till he was in Aussie and in Aussie for a while. And then he started studying classical music and get more interested in
it. Keep his
sanity. When he started out, he was just rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying he matured so much when he was with Ozzy. It was like, it's almost like he metamorphosis or something. He did. And he took it seriously. And he took all lessons when he, you know, got out the yellow pages back then for us old timers. And he'd look up an instructor at
when they went to a city, he'd look up to see if they had a college.
A professor.
Did the college have a music department? Did they have a guitar department? And if they did, he would look them up and go take a lesson from them if they would, you know, accept a student like that. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, he probably learned something, but sometimes he ended up teaching the teacher.
Yeah. That's true. It's a true story.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first, guys, is he did not start playing classical guitar. And that's very interesting because, you know, I've always heard that. I've always heard that, you know, he started playing classical and that's how he was like a virtuoso and everything. But I'm very glad that you corrected me on that because I feel like that is like one of the biggest pieces of misinformation that has been spread around is how he started out.
There's several of them, but that's one of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's just bound to happen when you have a famous person, you know?
Yeah. But she was supportive of the kind of heavy metal, you know, your mom was very supportive of the heavy metal. No.
She didn't think too much of the rock scene. And she didn't expect that he was going to be a classical musician. She would have liked it, but it kind of grew on her. Like, you know,
And she supported it once he did it.
Yeah. Once
she was at his concerts and with Quiet Riot and Starwood,
she did.
She's probably the loudest one in the audience.
But at first she wasn't real sold on the whole rock thing.
But let me, you know, say one thing. She was smart enough to know because when Randy got the interview for Ozzy, he didn't want to go. He was dead.
That's right.
But she said to him, in this business, it's not, maybe this isn't your thing, but it's introduction. And then other opportunities will open up. So you can do this for a while, get your name out there, you know, get this experience under your belt and then go forward.
But, the reason she's saying that is because Randy didn't like Black Sabbath.
Yeah. He didn't want to go.
I loved him. I thought they were great. But he didn't particularly like their style of music too much. So at first he had a lot of trepidation about, well, what am I auditioning for? What's going to happen? But then Ozzy told him, no, this is going to be really different. It's not going to be Black Sabbath. So that was good for him to hear.
Yeah. How did it feel for him then if he ever let you guys in on it? You know, he played some Black Sabbath songs, you know, especially in that tribute record that we heard. Did he not enjoy it?
He hated it.
He didn't like Black Sabbath. He didn't like that.
He hated playing them, though. In the concert, they made him play them.
Yeah.
He hated it.
I should have tried to explain a little better to him that Ozzy has to do those songs because people have been listening to him for years, and they really want to hear him, and he's got to do them, you know? But Randy was a little bit hesitant about that. He really didn't like Black Sabbath very much.
Yeah.
Which worked out okay because look at what they came up with.
I mean, you never would have known it though, that he didn't like playing it. I mean, when you listen to that album, it sounds like he was having a blast playing it. So he did a good job at kind of pushing the dislike down a little bit for that.
Yeah.
Well, he's a professional, so he did what he had to do.
I know that we talked a little bit about the video that I mentioned of him playing, that those first couple songs for that show in upstate New York. I know that it's just kind of a floating question, and I'm curious if you guys could say anything on it. I mean, I know that there's been a little bit of footage here and there that has, made its rounds. It's kind of floated out there, either fans sneaking cameras or whatever. I mean, is there any footage that that we haven't seen, or are you guys just as, it's a mystery for you guys as it is to us?
Every time we're interviewed, we're asked this.
Yeah.
And as far as we know,
there is
nothing exists.
And Rudy will attest to that. Yeah. He was there. You know?
Right.
He says the same thing, that I don't know why we don't have the answer for it. We weren't there at all the concerts.
If you go back before that, there's a lot of video
of
Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, but for some reason there just doesn't seem to be any more than what we have.
Yeah, which is I think it's something that a lot of us know, but are hoping deep down, that there's something out there that, maybe has been lost in the archives somehow, that will one day reveal itself.
We'd love it if it someday surfaces, and we'd be just as happy as
it'd be great.
Everybody else. Yeah.
And it could happen.
It could. Maybe somebody that had something in there.
Somebody could have died and left stuff in an attic, and somebody finds it one day and they look at it and they go, "Who is this? Oh my God, it's Randy Rhoads." And that would be great.
Yeah.
It'd be great, but it hasn't happened yet.
I know that there's been a lot of, really wonderful photos of him that were taken, though, including the one that's the painting that you guys have behind you. But I know that Ross Halfen just released that, really incredible photo book of all the pictures that he had taken. Were you guys a part of helping put that together at all, or was it kind of just out of
absolutely not.
No, we found out.
No.
I found out from the internet. So, No.
Yeah.
We're not involved.
We're not involved in any way.
Yeah. So that's his thing. And he took those pictures. So, he's entirely.
I guess what happened was he went on tour with them.
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
Back then. Well, he's kind of Ozzy's main photographer.
Yeah. He's kind of Ozzy's main photographer. So. Yeah.
And well, plus others, he's a, old timer, but photographed many amazing, musicians over time.
But we don't have a copy of the book.
Yeah, I think we're getting one.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say,
you should.
I hope I get one. I was told I was getting one.
Yeah, so. I mean, you guys should have been the first people that, that book was sent to. I'm a little shocked at that.
Well, I don't know if it's out yet, though.
But
is it out yet?
Is it out?
I believe that the last that I had seen of it, I think it came out. I could be wrong. I know that there was pre-orders the last time I'd seen it. It might be out. I believe that it was. If not, it's coming out very soon.
I think it was predicted to come out at the end of July, but it didn't. And I think it's a delay because nobody's posted the book.
That's fair. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure somebody would have, on the internet somehow it would have popped up. This is great. This is bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even people that did buy it would be commenting on it.
That's
so
true.
So I don't. I
That's
don't,
true.
I don't think it's out.
I don't think it's out.
But I'm. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I know that they were doing pre-orders for it, and I had seen like a lot of, Ozzy's social media team posting about it and things like that. So yeah, I mean, you guys better get a copy. I'll send you a copy. If they don't send you a copy, I'm like, man, come on.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure that you're probably going to get that book and see a lot of, photos that you maybe haven't seen. I mean, do you guys get a lot of that of, you see things on the internet or you see, come across pictures that you haven't really seen of him before?
Well, you do the Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's
do people send you pictures, any that you've never seen before?
Sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, they repeat, redundantly. And that's okay. They're just anything they can get, they want. And I get that. You know, the family has a lot of things. We don't know eventually what we'd like to do. Maybe a project, him and I, of some things that we don't share. We're protected and we're guarded. And there could be something, a nice project in the future maybe, but it's got to be the right thing. It's got to be the right thing and no room for failure. So that's how I feel. I think he agrees with me.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you guys had talked about maybe like a museum of some kind, but I know that that was kind of scratched a little bit once that break-in happened.
After we got that Thanksgiving present, we go, oh, well, if we establish a museum, which I wanted to do, they're just going to take a truck, wrap chains around the bars, and take everything. Mm-hmm. So that's now we can't
do sadly,
that.
We can't
do that. Yeah, we can't do that now.
We were in the midst of getting things together for it and doing it, but you know, it's not worth it to us.
That was our plan, but
Randy's things are very special to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it before to someone, especially about the guitars. They're like his soul. Those guitars are like his soul. And we honor that and we preserve it. And it means so much to us. We don't want to sell his stuff. We're not trying to make money off of him. It's preserving his history, his legacy, which he deserves. And we're trying to honor that the best we can. Could we do more? Do they want more? Listen, I hope the right thing comes around to finally do him justice.
Whatever you give them, they'll want more.
Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever you give them, they'll want more.
But we appreciate it at the same time. I don't want to sound, you know, doom and gloom. We love this attention he's giving, the recognition, but we're guarded. So
yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely makes sense. I mean, for that break-in, I know that it probably was a lot of, you know, you had a lot of thoughts about it and maybe what the goals and motives were. You know, do you think that whoever did that, you know, it was just like a, you know, we're going to just vandalize a place, or was it, you think it was actually kind of like planned, like we're trying to go in and get
his guitar. They thought, they
probably thought his guitars were there.
Yeah. We tell people all the time, we have a very secured, undisclosed location.
And it's
we don't
not
tell
the school.
Anybody. It's not our homes. It's not our school. Please, people, stop trying to invade us because they're not going to get what they want. And we're not going to tell them where they are, obviously.
and it's so bizarre because if you were able to get one of his guitars, what's the poor son of a bitch going to do? Show up at a pawn shop and go, this is Randy's guitar. They would call the police in a minute.
Yeah.
It would be very hard to sell those things.
Yeah. So we're just careful. That's
rightfully so. Like I said earlier, rightfully so that you guys are as careful. And I mean, kind of going back to what you said about, you know, people always want more. I mean, you guys are so, so heavily involved in preserving his legacy, literally in any way that you can. So anybody to ask for more than you guys are already doing, I mean, would a museum be great? Yes. I mean, obviously fans would love that, but you know, I mean, the fact that you guys share so much about him and are even doing things like this, you know, and talking about him, you know, 40 years after we lost
him.
We're
pretty generous with our time.
Yeah.
You know, people come to the school. I'll give some people like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And talk to them.
Answer
their questions within reason. If they're too ridiculous, I won't. But then it's like, what more do you want? You know, do you want us to let him stay in Randy's room for a week?
Yeah,
probably they would like that.
Some people probably.
At the end of the week, they go, I want 2 more weeks.
most of them are really respectful. And
most people are.
They really are. You know,
most people are.
They really are. They're true hearted. I have to say, I really appreciate all my followers. And, you know, a couple of them, maybe 99% are great. And I love that. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people who really love him. And I think sometimes, people definitely show it in a very strange way, as I'm sure that the both of you can attest to that. But two, really quick, I also want to touch on what each of you have going on. I mean, I know Kathy, you have your great wine tasting room, and I know you've had a lot of, I believe you're this, that's where you are right now, right?
It's been
right
closed for about 17
closed.
Months.
Because of COVID started. I have a grandson who has a severe heart condition. He lives next door to me. So with this COVID thing, I'm not careful, you know, it's just really sad, but you know, I'm hoping we can come back. And, you know, it was such a, like Musonia and the wine room were meccas of people coming and could meet, sit down with me, sit down with Kelly and talk to everybody. We have live music here. It was great, and I miss that, but I just have to be safe, and, you know, time will tell what happens next. So.
Yeah, we never closed the school, really. We have
some of the lessons viral, though.
Yeah, we remained open, but we have, like, viral lessons, too. So
Yeah. But, the wine room isn't that huge, and to have musicians all compacted in a small room, it's not safe. And, you know, you can't expect them to wear masks and drink wine and eat food. So anyway, we're okay for now, right now, but hopefully it'll be back. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, we were kind of on a, an increase in hope there for a couple months, and now it's kind of going back down again. So I'm hoping.
Yeah, all the concerts that are being closed again.
Yeah.
Which is, I just hope the induction thing doesn't get closed.
Yeah, are you guys planning to go to that if all goes well?
Yeah, totally.
I haven't been invited.
To the induction at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I haven't been invited.
What do you mean?
But I guess I'll go.
He knows. I've been dealing with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
She's been dealing with them.
He's invited, trust me.
I mean, I know they probably can't say too much, but do you guys know yet who is going to be giving, like, the induction speech?
Because of COVID, the protocol is going to be, who knows, till the last minute.
Right.
I don't think they know yet. Their things are on the fence. It might be more like a filmed kind of taping in the background or something when he's inducted. Hopefully, I think we get to accept the award on his behalf. I think I'm told that. So hopefully that happens, but it's still in the air. But they're selling tickets, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's one of those things that every day, I said this with the last interview I did, every single day it's like, you wake up and there's something new, and it's eventually like I'm sick and tired of living through the something new. Like, I just want to get back to.
Yeah.
Don't we all, though?
Totally. We all do. It's too long.
It's too long. And I mean, is there any plans? I know that it was the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, I believe you guys started it back in like 2014 or 2015. The Randy Rhoads Remembered concerts that you guys do, sometimes at NAMM and everything. I mean, that's definitely up in the air, like we were just talking about with COVID, and even if that will happen anytime soon. But if given the opportunity, once things start to open back up and we kind of get back to normalcy, is there any chance of doing those shows again?
I hope so.
Yeah, we hope so.
I hope so.
We don't run them.
Yeah, we don't put them on.
We just help them promote it, go with it, and support it. And so we don't know. We actually don't know how that is going at this point. So everything's kind of up and
it's so hard. It's so difficult nowadays. But, like I mentioned, you guys have done such an incredible job preserving your brother's legacy and what he left. And I think fans are so appreciative of it. But, for you guys, if there was one, thing that you could say about your brother, or, about not only who he was as a guitar player, but who he was as a person to you guys, what would you want fans to know?
That's a good question.
Well, I would want people to know that he was really, really a kind person.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
He was very, very kind, very considerate,
very humble,
generous to a fault. And I'm not just saying this. I mean, he really, really was. And he would just give you the shirt off his back. He was so kind to people. Mm-hmm. And he really had a lot of patience with people.
Yeah. And I would say, too, to add to that, very humble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very humble. And very appreciative.
He was
just
really, really an extraordinary person. You could say that.
Yeah.
He was extraordinary.
I think today, like so many times, I think, where would our lives be if he was alive? I just think, like, how our world would be different and how our lives would be different. And I truly believe I'll see him again one day. That's the way we were brought up. And, there'll be a lot of questions and things, but things happen for a reason. Sometimes we can't control it, and it's just the biggest tragedy of my life. I'm sure is too. You never get over it. You don't. And that's one of the reasons I do my Instagram. It's therapeutic. Here we are 40 years later, and you're sharing a legend to them mm-hmm. but it's your brother. And to me, it's a different thing. And I'm sharing it, but he's not the legend to me. He's the brother to me, yeah. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's double-edged sword for us sometimes. It is. But we think that we're doing what we can for him, and that's what's more important. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you do all these events and you do these memorials and you do the sharing and the pictures, and you're the one who, you know, people who pick everything that's given to exhibits and stuff. And I mean, I'm sure that although sometimes it's easy to remember, you know, the great memories, sometimes it can be very emotionally kind of taxing to have to constantly kind of be in that place and whatnot.
I think he'd be really happy. And I think he'd be really happy, Randy, that we are working together to continue it. Because like I said, we were telling you a little bit about our childhood. He was always the older, like annoying brother sometimes. but I think he would love that. And my mom, that we're doing this together and we're trying to make whatever we can happen for him. And it comes from our heart, basically, truly, both of ours. And it's sincerity. And, you know, I hope even better things happen for him in the future. And whatever it is that will come in our path, we'll try to honor. That's how I can, it's like a mission for me before I go and I leave this earth. I want it written, you know, or notice the things that should be recognized for him.
Yeah. I mean, even for you, Kathy, I know like you were just talking about your grandson or your grandchildren. I mean, for you, what has it been like to, you know, kind of pass on? Cause like you were saying, you know, for so many, it's been a situation where, you know, we view Randy as a legend and a guitar player and somebody who's written music that's changed a lot of our lives. But, you know, for your family and, you know, your children and your grandchildren, you know, he was, you know, their uncle. So what has it been like to kind of, you know, pass the legacy on a little bit to them?
One thing that's really interesting, this grandson I'm talking about that has the heart condition, there's some weird connection between him and Randy. I'm telling you, it's like I'd love to talk to one of these Teresa Caputo mediums. He comes in this room and he'll start pointing. He's not even just turned 3 and he calls him Uncle Crazy Train. If he sees polka dots, if he sees or hears a Crazy Train on the radio, he like lights up. He's like Uncle Crazy Train. It's bizarre. So I think there's some weird thing. I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll end up playing guitar one day.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Wow. That would be incredible.
Yeah. Or one of them. But anyway, so they know, you know, they know, and they're going to definitely keep this. I told them, I'm grooming them. This has got to be preserved and kept sacred, and you're going to be the keeper of the flame.
I don't have any kids, so
exactly.
She's got the children, so they're going to be the ones that inherit it.
And they're good kids, so I think they'll do a good job.
Yeah,
the team of the I have 3, so they're. I think between the 3 of them, they'll do good. They'll do good.
Yeah, that's amazing that you have, you know, that you had children that you're able to kind of pass this down to them. You know what I mean? Cause I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, even his items and, you know, things that his guitars and things that he left behind, you know, to be able to have somebody who can, you know, kind of hold on to that and, you know, continue to share about him and all that stuff. That's really amazing that you guys have that.
They know those guitars are never to be sold. No. Yeah. And they know that. And they understand and they agree that this is preserving. It's not making money off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to both of us that we know that when we're gone.
Indeed.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Who would have known? But anyway.
Creeps up on you.
Yeah. Well, I thank you guys so much for your time. It is such an honor to have you guys. And, you know, like I said, your brother's music has affected me so much as well. And I thank you guys so much for preserving his legacy and, you know, having these conversations and allowing not only somebody like myself, but, you know, everybody watching this and listening to this, you know, have a little bit more insight on your brother and what he, you know, gave to us. So I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
Can I put a plug in for my latest project?
Oh, you go for it, Kelly.
Brent and I are to the point where we're almost finished. Well, we are finished. Just the minute details on Architects of Destruction, which is an album that I've been working on for 6 years.
Wow.
And I think it's it obviously I think it's amazing, or why would I be doing it? But he worked with me really, really closely on it, and it's getting to the point now where it's going to come out. And we've been working on it for 6 years.
He's underrated. You got to listen to him too.
Yeah, I've heard about your drumming, and I have heard the records that you've done.
The piano, past. Though, he's an amazing pianist.
That's past. Yeah, I like to play piano and sing, but especially play piano. That's what I like.
Unfortunately, it's not easy to follow in your little brother.
I can tell anybody who wants to know. It's a daunting task.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can imagine. I mean, it's
they don't want that. They want to know where he got his socks. What color was his car? What kind of food did he like to eat? You know. Oh, did you say something about yourself? Oh, well, that's not important. So that was, thank you for letting me push my own product.
You can DM me when, wherever you know this is going, or where.
Yeah.
You can let me know. I could send it to him, or mm-hmm. you can watch it.
I'm not too internet savvy. I don't know very much about the internet. I depend on my wife and my sister.
And I struggle along.
But. Yeah, but you're better than me.
Sometimes it's better though. Like, it's one of those things where, like, for me, a lot of what I'm trying to do for my career, it's like you have to be online. And there are some times where I'm like, man, I wish I didn't have to be. Sometimes it's better.
Yeah. And Randy, never saw all this kind of technology.
All of this technology didn't exist when he was here. He probably would have adapted to it pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He would have. I mean, all these musicians use, all these apps and stuff with their music on their phones and stuff.
But I struggle with it all the time. But yeah. I have a real internet savvy wife, and she's real good at that. Kathy's way better at it than I am. And so
and that's why I'm dealing with the rock and roll.
I'm not completely out of the loop, but I always get my information secondhand.
And I tell him, everything we decide together when it comes to Randy, it's 50-50.
And in a weird way, did that kind of losing him kind of bring you guys, I know you did say that, it's been you guys working together, but was losing him something that kind of brought you guys together, after that happened?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it even more so once my mom died.
Yeah, my brother, but then when my mom passed away, yeah. Randy's whole legacy, it was ours.
My mom did it.
It's us.
Now it's us.
Yeah.
And so we're doing it together. And I think they both be really proud of us.
I think so. I think that they would like what we're doing. Yeah. We're sure doing it, out of our hearts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not out of our pockets.
That's right.
A big point.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I share on the internet, you see it, I don't want anything in return other than to share my brother's heart. That's it.
Yeah, and I think it's so cool that you did share the stuff that's going to go in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I know, it's sometimes, especially now, not everybody is going to have the chance to go and see that. Yeah. So, to be able to share that is great.
There for a year.
1 year, but she's right. Not everybody's going to fly to Cleveland to see it. Right. So that's why, exactly, this is for my followers who will follow me, and you'll see it here because you might not be able to go. That was exactly the point.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought first what I was going to send. So
yeah, it's really great. Like I said, everything that you guys do, because it's just for fans. And like I said, people who, maybe didn't get the chance to meet him, or somebody like me who I'm 21, there's only so many interviews I can watch or things I can see. So, to be able to hear from you guys and have you guys be so open about him and everything, the memories and stories about him, it's really, really great. And I think a lot of fans appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. I hope so.
Yeah, I know for sure that they do. I mean, it's really incredible what you guys do. And thank you guys so much again for coming on and doing this. It really does mean a lot to me. I mean, Randy's always been one of my favorites. And like I said, in the interview too, it's just, I can really tell I have such a passion for music. And so when I saw him play and when I hear him, it's definitely one of those things where I can sense that. And it's like it's something that I feel like makes me relate to him a lot. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. Randy's very relatable to a lot of people,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's very, tangible, relatable, good role model. I think that's good. There's a lot of rockers that, have this typical ego and attitude, and they're not they're different than how Randy really was.
Yeah, Randy.
And I don't think that would have changed either.
I don't think so.
I definitely don't.
Yeah, Randy didn't want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be a musician.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
wanted to get better at his trade. And that really meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
He wanted to get better, wanted to improve himself.
So maybe that transcends.
Yeah.
Know, yeah. And it seemed that way. Like it always seemed that way. You know, he never came across as, you know, trying to be anything, you know, just, it seemed natural. I mean, even the fact, like you had talked about, you know, he went out with Ozzy while Ozzy was obviously in this very kind of tough mental state and, you know, yeah. helped him out and basically, you know, reinvigorated his career more or less, you know, in a way. So, you
He's
know,
and says, I owe my career.
He, say, he yeah, says, yeah. I owe my whole career to him. That's what Ozzy says. A few other people do. Brent Woods says that too. Rudy says that.
Yeah, Rudy Sarzo. We're good friends yeah. with Rudy too.
Yeah, I've had him on the podcast. He actually helped me out with my senior thesis. I did an interview with him, and Rudy's so great. I've heard him talk about Randy, and it's just like incredible.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
and
good friend.
He's, you know, he's a lot like Randy's demeanor too. Very humble and sweet and kind and.
Easy to get along with.
Yeah.
He's incredible. And like I said, I've heard him talk about Randy, and he just has so much love in his heart for him. And it's just so, it's so evident when he speaks about him, how much he loves him.
Definitely.
Well, you know, when we did the Randy Rhoads Remembered concert series, I got to work with Rudy because when we do the part where I'm involved in it, I sing the old Quiet Riot songs when Randy was in the band.
Yeah.
And they always put Rudy on bass with me. And I don't know, that's real special. I can't even describe that. It's really special. We can both feel it, but.
Oh, it is.
It's great. It's really, 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 really great.
Yeah, I mean, I can assume so. I mean, it's also the thing, you know, that you have with Rudy and, you know, with Brent that I'm sure that it's hard for you to have with a lot of people is, you know, they actually, again, going back to, they knew Randy as the person, not just the player, you know?
The famous musician, they knew him as the friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure that is, it's nice to talk to people sometimes who it's like, you know, you knew him as just Randy and not, you know, this larger than life person. So I can totally see how that would be helpful for you guys.
All right.
Well, nice meeting you. And
nice
meeting you. If I'm ever in California, which hopefully again soon, I'll let you guys know and I'll stop by the winery and the music school and all that fun stuff.
But you're in New York, right?
I'm in Philadelphia, so close.
Oh, yeah. Philly.
Okay, I thought you said New York. Okay.
Okay.
Well, still East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're ever out here, look us up.
You definitely, you know where you can contact me. Just DM me and I'll meet you.
I'd love to. Yeah. I mean, I was planning on it maybe sometime next year, if all goes well. So I'll let you guys know. And I'd love to, that was something that I didn't get to do last time I was there. So I'll let you know.
Yeah. Have some wine, Randy Rhoads wine.
Yes. And I can officially drink now. So yes, I will definitely be doing so.
Yeah.
You just finished listening to my conversation with Kathy and Kelly Rhoads, the brother and sister of Randy Rhoads. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. Please be sure to share your favorite memories of Randy with us, whether you had the opportunity to meet him, to see him live, a song that he played on that means a lot to you, whatever it may be sure to go ahead and share that with us at Metal From The Inside. Again, you can find us on Twitter at MFTI Official and on Instagram at Metal From The Inside. We're also on Facebook by the same name, so be sure to let us know. But like I mentioned in the introduction to this episode, this conversation meant so much to me, and any Randy Rhoads fan that has listened to this, I'm sure, got so much out of it. Kathy and Kelly are so wonderful and so generous in their time and sharing their memories and their stories about Randy. So it was an absolute honor again to have them on and to have this episode giving tribute to my favorite guitar player of all time, one of the greatest musicians of all time, Mr. Randy Rhoads. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, if you would like to support the Metal From The Inside podcast, there are a couple of ways to do so. First, you can go and leave a direct donation at our Anchor page, which is www.anchor.fm/ /metal from the inside. Here you can click in the support button and donate either $1, $5, or $10 a month to the podcast. Every single dollar received here will go directly back into creating even better content for you guys. Or you can also purchase some Metal from the Inside merchandise at season-of-mist.com. Go ahead and type Metal from the Inside into the search bar, and you can purchase our logo on a wide variety of styles, including long sleeves, t-shirts, hoodies, zip-ups, whatever your heart desires, and a portion of the proceeds of every piece of merchandise sold will go, again, directly back into creating content for you guys here on Metal from the Inside. So, no donation, though, is required to listen. We are available for 100% free on every streaming platform, including Spotify, Apple, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. So, a donation is by no means necessary, but I always leave that option out there in case you might be interested. If you'd like to stay up to date with everything that is going on Metal from the Inside, again, we are on social media, every platform, including Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are on Instagram at Metal from the Inside, on Twitter at MFTI Official, and you can go ahead and like our official Facebook page. If you'd like to stay up to date with me, Sydney Taylor, I am on Instagram at Sydney Anna Taylor and on Twitter at S Taylor Official. Here I will be sharing everything that is going on over here at Metal from the Inside, as well as 93.3 WMMR and 102.9 WMGK for my Philadelphia rock and roll listeners. So be sure to stay up to date with me there. Thank you guys so much again for listening and for being so understanding about my absence. There is a lot coming, I promise, and I thank you guys so much for continuing to support the podcast, to support me, and to listen and be here. So thank you so much. We will be back before you know it with a brand new episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast, episode 48. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor. Have a great rest of your weekend. Rock on, stay safe, and I'll see you next week.